that's what I try to do, is what can I do each day and not get lost in, you know, the social media sort of rabbit hole where it eats up my time. But what can I do that's strategic, that makes sense, and is going to give the best value that I could offer?
You're listening to Real Marketing Real Fast, the only podcast that brings you unfiltered, undaunted, insider information on the latest tools and technologies for online marketers. Prepare to dive deep into marketing myths, breakthrough models, and cutting-edge strategies that will have an immediate impact on the growth of your business. And now, here's your host, marketing expert Doug Morneau.
Well, welcome back, listeners. We've got another show ready to go for you here, and I've got a friend of mine joining me in this studio. I'd like to introduce you to Terry Holland. She helps entrepreneurs to let go of their limiting decisions and beliefs that hold them back and helps them to create a compelling future that they want. Terry has studied peak performance and life enhancement for the past decade. She has over 15 years experience as an entrepreneur and has the number one self-help podcast on iTunes, The Empowered Life. Terry has trained with master trainer Dr. Tad James and is a certified trainer and master practitioner of NLP hypnotherapy and timeline therapy, as well as NLP coaching. So welcome to Real Marketing Real Fast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, is there anything that you'd like to add to your introduction? Any changes or updates on your business and what direction you're going these days?
No, I think that pretty much sums it all up.
So, you know, the question I often ask people is, are you ready for a business breakthrough? Are you just willing to settle for the same? And you and I had a quick chat before we fired up the recorder here to get going. Can you share a major breakthrough or a success that you've had with a client, or maybe it's your own company, with our listeners?
Yeah, for sure. I work mainly with entrepreneurs. So often when they come to me, they're feeling stuck, they're trapped, they don't know what to do next. And I had one in particular who came to my NLP practitioner training, for not to be a practitioner, but to break through some challenges he's having in his own business. And what was really holding him back was fear because of past failures. So he was sort of a typical entrepreneur who had had some major success and then lost everything, and then had another success, lost it all. And this time he was afraid of building up his business again for the risk that he might lose everything again. And what would happen if, and could he go through that again? So we let go of fear and some limiting beliefs that he had. We changed his strategies around business and doing what he did in the past. And the biggest thing for him was letting go of procrastination, because he was so afraid of not doing things perfectly and so afraid of failing that he just wouldn't take any action. And when he let go of all of that, his business transformed. And now he's having, that was 5 months ago now, and his business has tripled in that time. So he's seeing massive success from that.
That's a really quick turnaround. I mean, I see a couple things often. One is procrastination. And the other is just, I guess it's procrastination of a different sort. You know, you realize you need to do something for your business, which is sell stuff. And people aren't comfortable selling. So they say, hey, I think I'll work on my website. Hey, I think I'll work on this. So they fill their calendar with all this marketing stuff and none of it produces sales.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I see that a lot. It's a really common way to avoid things, right? And so many people say, I don't want to sell. I don't want to be salesy. I hate sales. And really, it's looking at it differently, that until there's a transaction that happens called a sale, then business can't happen. If you really want to help people, you can't help them until there's some sort of transaction involved. So I encourage my clients to look at it as a sale is serving your client. You don't get to serve them until you sell something. And a lot of them do use things like avoidance. Like this client I had mentioned, his favorite one was cleaning his fridge. Clean his fridge before making cold calls. And that's, you're pretty desperate when you're cleaning your fridge, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I had kind of an epiphany years ago. I was down at Laurel's Big Table in Tahoe, and they had gone through this little exercise where everybody brings $10 and then you give, you know, $5 to the person who inspires you the most, and then $2. And they, so you divvy up the money, then the rest is in ones. And then at the end of the exercise, you tally up all the cash to see who has the most amount of money from the people in the room. And they seat you in a certain order. And it absolutely shocked me that I was sitting at the front of the line with a bunch of people that I never met. Mm-hmm. Well, other than in that particular time. And I sat there thinking, and someone said, well, what are you thinking about? I think the reason a lot of us don't sell is we're just being selfish. If we really have a service and a product like you do that can help people, then aren't we being selfish if we don't give them the opportunity to get better, fix their business, you know, fix that relationship, because we're afraid they might say no. So it just kind of changed my whole thinking it's a selfish thing to not sell, because you're just thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about the other person. That's worse than being a salesperson.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. When you have something that can change lives or make someone's life better or easier, then you owe it to them to at least offer.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't mean they have to say yes, but you at least need to offer it to them and give them the opportunity.
I think the thing that I've used for years is I ask, you know, what's the worst thing that could happen? How likely is it that that worst thing could happen? And then am I willing to live with it if it did? And that's, to me, it's pretty simple. It's like, yeah, most things aren't going to kill me, and maybe some are a bit risky, but yeah, am I willing to do that? Sure. Okay. Why not?
Yeah. That's a great way to look at it.
So, I mean, a lot of the guests we've had on the show and the podcast have all talked about marketing and marketing products and software. But I think that what we're talking about is a really big issue for entrepreneurs as well, because they sit there and they stare and they go, okay, I need an email service. Should I use Infusionsoft? Should I use GetResponse? Should I use Drip? And they go around and around looking at analyzing every piece of software that's possible. So what advice or suggestions would you give people that are kind of in that stuck phase where they're analyzing a million things and they're not executing?
I would say, you know, a lot of times when they're stuck in that phase of analyzing things, they're waiting for something to be perfect. And they're looking for, how do I do this perfectly and not fail at it? And so they get stuck and trapped in all these little details. And at the end of the day, like, does it really matter when you're starting out? Does it really matter what email service you use? Probably not. Just pick one and go with it. And you can change course later.
Yeah.
And the only way to truly get excellent at something, to do it really, really well, is to just start and be willing to fail. And we say in NLP, there is no failure, there's only feedback. So you get the feedback of that's not working and you can change direction. But until you get started, you don't get the feedback. So how do you know what's working or what's not working? You can't improve.
Yeah, that's a fair comment. I mean, I'm in this space, so I look at stuff every day, and I've got clients on just about every platform, and I go into Facebook help groups and support groups, and I see the discussion over and over and over again. So that's good advice. And that's basically what I said, pick one and then get started. And if it's not the right one, then we'll change, because we can export the data and you can upload it to somebody new and carry on.
Exactly. But at least you're starting something.
So tell me a little bit about how you scaled your business. I mean, looking at your background and your website, you obviously run a successful podcast, but then, you know, you mentioned how you tripled your income in a short period of time. Do you mind sharing some of the details of how you did that?
Yeah, well, that was my client that tripled his income in a short period of time.
Okay.
But I did as well. I did grow my business pretty quickly. And when I say I grew my business quickly, I grew this business quickly, based on years and years of working in another business and learning from experience and growing that way. So it's all relative, of course, to experience and training and past feedback. What really helped me was getting clear on what it is I offer, who I help, and then getting really strategic in my marketing. So focusing on what do I do well, what's the best way for me to get my message out to people, and what can I do consistently?
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. What can you do consistently? Not, hey, I'm in the mood to do something today. I'm going to write 20 tweets and then that's the end of it for the month.
Exactly. And it was, I think when I started in business, I was more like that. Like I would do something, you know, I'd put out a bunch of posts somewhere, or I'd get really into my blog and then I wouldn't touch it for months. And that didn't produce a great result. But when I started doing the podcast and I started doing videos as well and got really, really strategic in it, in what I was posting and when, that's where I started to see a bigger result.
So in terms of your podcast now, so you're saying you got strategic. So I look back at a number of your episodes and I see at one point you've done some rebranding, which is always a good thing. Like you said, you update kind of where you are. I really love the new look and feel of your piece with your picture on it there.
Thanks.
And in terms of doing a little bit each day, I mean, sorry for my listeners that have heard this before, but the best book I've read on this topic recently has been The Slight Edge.
Oh, yeah.
And it just talks about that very thing, just doing a little bit every day. You don't have to do 100 posts a day. You can do, you know, one post a week and just consistently once a week do a post.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's such great advice. That's what I try to do is what can I do each day and not get lost in, you know, the social media sort of rabbit hole where it eats up my time. But what can I do that's strategic, that makes sense, and is going to give the best value that I could offer at that moment.
So can you walk us through a little bit of how you might engage and work with a client with some of your training? So if I came to you or one of our listeners came to you and said, hey, we're small, we're an entrepreneur, we want to grow our business. Kind of what are the first things that you would look at to, you know, to uncover what the issues are?
Yeah. So I start with what we call detailed personal history. So if I'm working one-on-one with an entrepreneur, that's what I start with. And it's a process I take them through to uncover what is the root problem. Because typically when someone comes to me with a problem or a challenge in their business, what they present is the surface structure. So like the tip of the iceberg.
That's funny.
So they'll see the symptoms of the problem. Like I'm not making money.
Yeah.
Or they'll say, I'm just not motivated anymore. I've lost my passion for my business. And underneath that is the whole root structure of what's really going on with them. So first we uncover that. And then I take them through a personal breakthrough session, which is I use everything that I know, NLP, timeline therapy, hypnosis, to get into that root structure and undo the problem. And by the end of that, we blow out the boundaries of the problem so that there is no problem. And often what they'll say to me by the end of it is, I don't even remember why I came.
Wow.
Because there's no problem.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you mentioned that you uncover the very beginning of the problem. And I've had that the same issue where you talk to somebody about their marketing and what you find is that they're not honest with you. So, you know, I guess for someone to have a good relationship with you and expect a good result, they need to be honest.
Absolutely. And one of the great things of NLP is we really train in rapport. So that helps somebody when you get into really great rapport with somebody, it helps them to open up and to be honest. Sure. And the other great thing about NLP is I can usually detect pretty quickly when a person's lying and know how to uncover what's actually going on.
I should learn that because I often talk to people and I say, so what's the issue? And they say, well, I need more sales. Mm-hmm. And so we go through this whole process of sales and they forget to mention a whole bunch of things like, you know, I'm not able to pay my rent of my retail store and the mall's going to kick me out at the end of the week. So I need your ads to not only produce, but produce within 2 days. Or, oh, I had my credit card shut off from Google because I was non-compliant with advertising. I forgot to tell you that.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. It would be helpful to know the whole story before you get going.
Absolutely. And be able to ask the right questions, uncover that.
So a bit of a consulting question. Feel free to answer or say, I'm not interested in answering that. I'm interested and curious because of the type of work that you do. I haven't worked with someone at your level before. So I'm interested about people's belief system. What are their limiting beliefs when it comes to sales and more particularly attracting clients? I'll give you a specific example. So, you know, we have had a salesperson, we're saying, hey, we should go out. And this is kind of our minimum engagement for a client. And after a long time, it's like, well, I can't achieve that. So I found that people sell to their comfort zone and what they think is within their economic history. So
yeah,
is that something you'd agree with or you've seen as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So people have all kinds of limiting beliefs around what they can do, what's possible for them. They have limiting beliefs around sales, around money, around their own value and worth. And when we talk about limiting beliefs in NLP, we talk about limiting decisions, because before someone can believe something, they had to have decided to believe it. And we just say that's a more empowering position to come from. So we look at what is the root cause of that belief? When did you decide to believe that? And then from there, we can unravel that belief and in place, put in a new belief that's more beneficial, one that supports what they want. So a limiting belief or limiting decision could be something like, I'm not good enough, which I've yet to meet a person who comes to me who doesn't have some form of that belief. And yep. if you have that, right, if you're unconsciously running a belief that I'm not good enough, or what I'm doing is not valuable, I'm not worthy, I can't be successful, anything like that, that affects your behavior unconsciously. Now, we say that all behavior is unconscious. So you might not, like, consciously, you might be able to say, oh, no, I know what I do is of value and of worth. But if unconsciously you don't believe that, it affects your behavior. It'll affect your communication with a prospect, with a new client. It will affect how you do your sales calls, how you do your marketing. And then the end result of that is that I'm not making sales, I'm not making money, I'm not successful in my marketing.
So do you think people cycle through that, or is it kind of like an on or off switch?
Well, it could be either way. So okay. Sometimes people have a limiting decision or a limiting belief that is in every part of their lives. So it's all the time. They believe it 100% all the time. And then sometimes people have, in NLP, we call it a part, which is a part of the personality believes this. So it's not something they believe all the time, but sometimes they believe it. So an example would be like if someone's really indecisive, you know, sometimes I think I want to do this with my career, and sometimes I think it should be this way, and they can't decide between the two, then that's what we call a part.
Okay.
Is just a part of you that disagrees.
Oh, I thought that was a shiny new object. I'm always looking at new stuff going, hey, that's really cool. We should add that.
That could be part of it.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. I think I find that I cycle through different, different levels of energy during the day. And so I've tried really to rearrange my calendar to use my highest energy level at the optimal time when I'm working with clients, and then schedule what I would consider in my business, meaning or less meaningful tasks in off hours where I know my energy's low, and it's just stuff I can kind of grind through to get it done.
That's a great strategy.
So do you work, or have you worked with sales teams as within larger organizations, or do you focus primarily on smaller entrepreneurs, or what size of company do you typically like to work with?
So I work with everything from the solo entrepreneur to small businesses. And my next, where I'm branching into now, is more into corporate training. So getting into bigger businesses. And I have worked with sales teams, and those are always really interesting.
Well, I guess because you're in a group setting, so it's a little bit hard to do a deep dive when everybody's peers and maybe their bosses in the room.
Mm-hmm. It can be, for sure. And some of the ways I deal with that is we do some individual work and then some group work. So we'll work more on, when I'm working with a team, I work a lot with their values. So values are deeply unconscious filters that determine what motivates people, what demotivates them, what they'll put energy into or not put energy into. So if I have a sales team that isn't performing well, typically their values aren't in alignment with what they're doing. So that's the first thing I start with, is what are their values now? What are the values of the team leader or the boss? And where do they need to be to get the best result? And then I take them each through a process of realigning their values until they're all in alignment and moving in the same direction.
That's really cool. I understand, kind of a bit about your process, but I can also see why it's valuable for people. So for people who are listening and going, well, I don't know if this is all true or if this is, so what's the biggest myth about the type of work that you do? So, obviously the people that you've had success with, you can't deny that. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say the biggest myth, well, there's a big myth out there that NLP is manipulation. I don't know if you've heard that before, but that's a big myth I come up against a lot.
Yeah.
And what I say to that is that NLP is a series of techniques and tools, and they can be used for manipulation, and they can also be used to create massive change and impact. And it's just how you use it. It's no more manipulative than a hammer.
Sure.
A hammer can be used as a weapon, or it can be used to build a house.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So I would say that. And the other myth I come up against a lot, because I do hypnotherapy, is that it's woo-woo, it doesn't work, it's not real. And I say, I work with imagination. So if you can imagine that what I'm saying is real and that it works, you'll get a better result. And if you don't, and if you don't follow my instructions, then you're not going to get a great result. At the end of the day, whether it's real or not real, if you're getting the results you want, does that matter?
That's so funny. Yeah. I'm just thinking back of times we've had conversations with people and it's like, well, I'm not happy with the result. It's like, well, did you execute what we told you? Well, no. Well, yeah, then exactly. How can you be unhappy with the result? You didn't do what we laid out for you. Well, we thought it'd be better to do it this way. Well, how's that working for you? Well, it's not. I'm unhappy. It's like, well, why don't you try it my way? You paid me to tell you how to do it. Why don't you try it this way?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And in hypnosis, what I always tell people is, people say, oh, I can't be hypnotized, or not everyone can be hypnotized. And I say anyone can be hypnotized to the degree that they can follow instructions. If you follow my instructions, you go into a trance. If you don't follow them, you won't go into a trance. Either one is fine with me, but you came to me for a purpose. So why not follow instructions?
I don't even want to have that conversation. That's a really long conversation. We sat with a really large company in the Lower Mainland, which I won't mention, that is a member-based company. They have about 750,000 members. And we sat one day revealing some analytic data of how people were finding them online. And their VP said, that's not right. So what do you mean it's not right? Well, our audience doesn't, they would not think of looking for us that way online. It's like, well, I'm not theorizing. This is what Google Analytics is saying. It's, well, that's not true. I don't believe the data. It's like, okay, we probably can't help you anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. People want to believe what they want to believe, right? And then sometimes when you come up against that, they have a hard time hearing it.
So you weren't always in this business, as you mentioned before. You transitioned or pivoted into the business that you're in now. So looking back on time for, entrepreneurs that are listening, and the reason I want to cover this is everyone's heard of Gary Vaynerchuk, and you know, people love him or hate him. I happen to like him. It took my wife about a year to get used to him. But I think one of the things that I like that he talks about is he talks about the fact that you need to work and you need to work hard. That these Instagram pictures of people standing in front of Lamborghinis and boats and all that at 16 is just not true. So, that being said, and I believe that business is a long game. So what advice would you have given yourself back 10 years ago that you think would have had just a super big impact on your business at that time?
I would say work harder. I think a lot of us get into business. I know I did, thinking that I'll work for myself. I'll have all this freedom and I can set my own hours. And we have this illusion of the laptop lifestyle on the beach. And that takes a lot of work to get there. So it's not it wasn't a quick fix for me to get into self-employment. I thought it would be. I thought I'd have all this free time and I didn't. And I learned really quickly that I had to work a lot harder. And looking back, I still could have worked a lot harder than I did.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting what I see from people who are not entrepreneurs, who are employees, and what they think, oh, you guys make all this money and you do this and you do that and you don't work. And it's like, dude, yeah, we work a lot more than 8 or 9 hours in a day.
Yeah, for sure. And it's, I don't begrudge it. I don't begrudge any of the work that I do because I love it. So it doesn't feel hard to me. It doesn't feel like I'm struggling through a work day the way I used to when I was an employee, but it is a lot of work and it does require effort for the reward.
Absolutely. Well, I have to, I don't have a choice because I'm unemployable. I get in someplace and it's like, how come you're doing it that way? Why don't we do it this way so we can improve results and go faster and bigger? And it's like, well, we've never done it that way before. So yeah, I don't make a very good employee. I'm better off on my own.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I was a terrible employee.
So what advice would you give listeners who, they've listened in a bit and they say, hey, this is kind of interesting, but I'm not sure what the next step would be. What would the next step be for an entrepreneur or business owner that's saying, hey, this sounds kind of interesting?
Mm-hmm. the next step in terms of
what would you advise them to do? I mean, I'm assuming because you're in business and you like to serve people, it would be, would they call you and have a consultation? Would they set some time aside or some homework that they would do before they would talk to you? What would be the next step that somebody would want to take that wants to make this change to have a better life and better lifestyle and a bigger business?
Yeah, well, I would definitely suggest connecting with me. So the first step for that is on my website, you can opt in for an appointment. I do a 30-minute consultation with people just to see where they're at and strategize on what needs to happen next for them. So I don't really have homework beforehand because I don't know where they are. But that's the next step, is to just have a conversation and see where it is that they're at, where they want to get to, and then what has to happen in between.
Okay, so that may be a good place to start. Know where you're at and where you want to go. And that's what I tell people. They say, well, what do you do? I said, well, we look at where you're at, where you want to go, what tools you have to get you there in terms of time, money, people, all those things. And then we look for the gap and we try to fill in the gap.
Yeah, absolutely.
So where do people find you online?
So you can find me on my website, terryholland.ca. And on Facebook, Terry Holland Coaching. And I'm pretty much on every platform. So if you...
Hey, I hear your friend in the background.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, my dog.
Dogs are cool. They're better than cats. So I will post all of your... I'll post all your information in our show notes. Who's one guest that you think I should invite on the show?
Oh, that is a great question.
It always stumps everybody. I'm thinking this has got to be the easiest question. People go, oh, that's so tough.
It is. It's tough. I don't know. I would love to see maybe Jonathan Christian.
Yeah, that's a great pick. I've had Jonathan on the show.
So thank you.
That was a great selection. I'm sure Jonathan will be happy to hear these getting endorsement. He's an awesome guy. I met him years ago in the self-employment program at Douglas College.
Yeah, he's great. He really opened my eyes to social media and got me going. I would say him, or if you want to aim big, I would say Frank Kern would be really cool.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I've reached out to Frank, part of his mastermind, and Heather and I went and spent a weekend down at his place in La Jolla and hung out with those guys. And there's a guy who brings a lot of value.
Yeah.
Have you been to any of his events?
I haven't. I've gone through a lot of his programs online.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, it's for him to stand up there and say, I'm an introvert, so I'm not going to hang around and talk to you after I get off the stage, but ask me any questions you want. And he brings out his ledger book and says, hey, this is how I ran this ad campaign. This is how much money I spent for Facebook advertising. This is my conversion. This is how much money I made. Any other questions? So he just lays it all out there. So Frank is definitely on the list.
Awesome.
Well, thanks so much for taking time out of your day to share with our listeners. So listeners, we will post all of Terry's information on our website, on the show notes. So make sure to check the show notes if you're there. Subscribe to our email list. You'll get updates on upcoming episodes. If you're on iTunes, subscribe to iTunes. I'll also make sure that the link to Terry's show is there in iTunes as well. So thanks so much. Thanks for listening and have a great week.
That's all for this episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Now it's time to take your marketing to the next level by visiting DougMorneau.com and downloading our advanced marketing white papers, as well as exclusive resources based on today's episode. That's DougMorneau.com. Until next time, we look forward to serving you right here on Real Marketing Real Fast.